Within the Geek Cave, there lives a sarcastic woman who jumped the snark years ago. With her cynicism talisman forever upon her neck, she guides you through the cinematic wasteland. It's time for the More Than Monthly Movie Review from the GRD Cinemistress, Carol the Cat.
Hello, ghosts and ghoulies. This is the Cinemistress, and I went to the movies. I went and saw Dr. Sleep. This is the sequel to The Shining. Thankfully, they didn't call it The Shining 2 Electric Shinaloo or something silly like that, and is based on the novel by Stephen King. This movie stars Ewan McGregor, Rebecca Ferguson, and newcomer Kylie Curran, and is directed by Mike Flanagan. Flanagan has some previously great horror films in his repertoire, including the underappreciated Oculus and Hush. Seriously, I urge everyone to seek those two films out. They're really great. He also brought The Haunting of Hill House to Netflix and does have some King experience because he adapted and filmed Gerald's Game for Netflix. That's also a really great adaptation. Dr. Sleep, while based on the King novel, I would say is very much a sequel to the 1980 Stanley Kubrick The Shining. The Shining is one of my favorite films of all time, and I've previously stated that I think it's one of the best Stephen King adaptations because it's a damn good movie, but it's also one of the worst Stephen King adaptations because it really doesn't follow the novel. I also love the novel The Shining. I do think it's one of Stephen King's best. King notoriously dislikes the Kubrick film because it didn't follow his novel. I've also read Dr. Sleep and really enjoyed it, so I was curious to see if Flanagan would follow the novel, considering most of the trailer and promotional materials I was seeing was relying so heavily on visuals from the Kubrick film. So how did he do? Let's find out. As usual, I will save the spoilers to the end of the review, and I will give you fair warning. But first, your plot. Years after the horrific events at the Overlook Hotel, Dan Torrance is still a haunted man. While the ghost of Dick Halloran has taught Danny how to capture the ghosts that haunt him and box them up in his mind, he has unfortunately grown up to be very much like his father, an abusive alcoholic. He has also suppressed his shining ability. In an effort to get his life together, he moves to a small town where he attends AA meetings and starts work at a local hospice. Here he begins to slowly use his powers again, as he helps ease dying patients into the afterlife, and he gets the nickname Dr. Sleep. He also gets a psychic pen pal in the form of a young girl named Abra Stone, whose shining ability far surpasses anything Dan has ever had. Unfortunately, Abra has come to the attention of the True Knot, led by Rose the Hat, a group of semi-immortals who feed on the shining. They call it steam. The only way they can get steam from a person who shines is through pain and torture. Once Rose picks up on how powerful Abra is, Rose figures she can kidnap Abra and keep her in constant pain, thereby feeding her group for as long as they can keep Abra alive. And that's all I'm going to tell you about the plot of the film. So let's get into the good, the bad, and the ugly. First, the good. This is a very good film. It's well acted, particularly by McGregor and Curran, and very well directed. Flanagan has a visual style that lends itself extremely well to horror, and that's on full display here. And there are some truly horrific and scary scenes in this film. Oddly, one of the most gruesome scenes for me was at the beginning of the film. Dan picks up a young woman at the bar and does coke and drinks with her at her apartment, and the next morning he steals her money and leaves her naked in a pool of her own vomit, and then notices that she has a young child. He just puts the child in bed with mom and leaves them there. You have no idea whether this woman is alive or dead, and he just leaves the kid. He has visions of her later on, but you don't actually know if those are true visions or not. It just shows you how damaged the character of Dan Torrance is, and he's damaged by things that are beyond his control. I also really like the villains in this piece, the True Knot, because they have a rather seductive lifestyle. They're bohemians, they travel around in RVs, it's all very incense and patchouli, but they are terrible, terrible beings. They're shown recruiting another person into their groups, and you know going into this, if she had not agreed to be a part of their group, they would have just killed her and basically eaten her. But it does show how someone could be enticed into this lifestyle, even though part of that lifestyle is doing horrible things to young children. And yes, there is an extended torture scene involving a young boy. I did not find it gratuitous, but it's there, so be warned. I heard a rumor that King was writing a book based solely on the True Knot, giving the history of the group and how they came to be. I hope that's true because I want to know more about them. They intrigue me. Not that I'd join them or anything like that. No. Well, no, I wouldn't. All in all, this is an incredibly well-acted, well-directed, at times scary movie. However, let's get to the bad. This movie is 2.5 hours long. Now, I saw this film after a very long, hard day at work, and that could be the reason why I felt the length so much. This started to drag in places for me. I think there would be very easy edits to knock this down a good 15 to 20 minutes, and this would have been a tighter, more flowing film. But like I said, I saw it after a long, hard day at work, so that could just be the fatigue talking. There are also a couple of places in the script where things just seem so coincidental. Dan walks off the bus and immediately is offered an apartment and a job. Which, you know, you could blame on his ability. Maybe he's unconsciously using his shining to get that. But it just seems so coincidental. Plus, it's a horror film, so there's a couple of places where stupid people do stupid things in an effort to further the plot. Okay, let's talk fan service for a little bit, because this movie is full of fan service to the 1980 film. From the opening chords of the music, to the office that Dan has an interview in, to carpet patterns, there's so much callback. Like I said, that's one of my favorite films, and I didn't necessarily mind it too much, except that the entire third act takes place in the Overlook Hotel, and at that point, it almost became overload. And I kept thinking, well, damn, if I want to watch The Shining, I'm going to go home and pop in my Blu-ray of The Shining. It almost became too much. Maybe some of those callbacks could have been trimmed a little bit to shorten the length time of the film. It would have made this movie stand out a bit more on its own, rather than calling so much back to the Kubrick film. This isn't a deal breaker for me, because I kind of enjoyed some of those callbacks. But again, after a while, it just became very repetitive with them. Let's get to the ugly. Okay, so I have one really big problem with this film. Unfortunately, it involves spoilers. So I have to include that after the spoiler warning. Let's just say they made a major change from the book, one that I do not agree with at all. Now, I'm trying to separate the movie from the book and judge the movie based on itself, but what happens in the book was so perfect that when they changed that, it soured my view of the film. If you haven't read the book, Dr. Sleep, this is not going to be an issue for you. Let's just say if I hadn't read the book, there'd be no ugly section here, because this is still a very good film. But I have read the book, and I disagree with a big change they made. Final thoughts, this is still a very good film, and I do recommend it. Mike Flanagan's an incredibly talented director, and I can't wait to see what he does next. I can't wait to get the second season of The Haunting of Hill House. Is this as good as the 1980 Shining film? No, I don't think so. I think it's a worthy sequel, but I don't think it comes close to that. But seriously, you're talking Stanley Kubrick here, who really could come close to that? I'm going to rate Dr. Sleep a one-night stay in room 237. Doesn't quite get the full weekend treatment, but an overnight stay is pretty darn good. And now, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
You tell me.
Spoilers.
I joked at the beginning about how they didn't name this The Shining 2 Electric Shinaloo, but really, they could have, because this is such a direct sequel to the movie. In the book Dr. Sleep, Dan Torrance works at a hospice and uses his shining ability to transition people into the afterlife. Hence the name Dr. Sleep. It's a nickname he's given. This is given lip service in the movie with a couple of scenes, but it's not really focused on. I mention this because at the end of the book Dr. Sleep, Dan and Abra defeat Rose the Hat at the site where the Overlook Hotel used to be, because in the book it's been demolished, and Dan says goodbye to that part of his life. He actually sees the ghost of his father, Jack, waving to him as he leaves that area, and he goes back to his small town and back to his hospice and back to his work as Dr. Sleep. And I actually think this was a beautiful end to the character of Danny Torrance. because this has been a man who has been horrified most of his life and haunted most of his life. And now finally he can get some peace, and he's using his ability in a really beautiful way. I found the ending to the book Dr. Sleep very wonderful. So of course in the movie they kill Dan off. He dies in the Overlook Hotel, which is still standing in the movie. As a matter of fact, the typewriter is still sitting on the table, which doesn't make sense. Maybe it's a ghost typewriter. I don't know. It's the Overlook Hotel. Don't trust anything you see. But yes, Dan and Abra defeat Rose the Hat, but the hotel basically kills Danny in the process. If I hadn't read the book, I don't know if I would have had such a huge problem with this, but I have read the book. And the movie ending is so much worse than the book ending that I left the theater actually a little bit mad, because I thought that was a disservice to the character of Danny Torrance. In this instance, Stephen King did it much better. So if you're able to divorce the film from the book, you might actually be okay. Or if you haven't read the book, you'll probably be okay. But just know that that major change really kind of broke my heart. Maybe that's what it was supposed to do, but I still wanted that happy ending for Dan. This is the Cinemistress signing off. I will never not make a Break Into Electric Boogaloo joke. Never.
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit up our website at geekradiodaily.com. Find more of Carol the Cat at guardiansofthegeekery.com and purplehairedpixie.com.